Welcome to our show. This is the Backlash Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. We are the Glorious Griffins, and welcome to our 97.7 FM BLPS Student Hour.
Hello, I'm Daniel, and I love footy, basketball, running, and my family.
That's a lot of sports. What football team do you play for?
I play for Berwick Junior Football Club.
That's cool. I'm Shanae. I don't really follow football, but I have three sisters, two nephews, and one niece.
Hi, Shanae. I'm Brody, and I'm one of three boys, but I don't have any sisters. My brothers and I all love sport. Have an older brother named Cooper and a younger brother named Tyler. They are very annoying.
That's cool, Brody. Hi, I'm Leah, and my little brother is actually pretty awesome. I love acting, dancing, and I also love animals.
I'm Broden, and I like animals too. I like reptiles. I also have a big family. There are seven kids in my family, two girls and five boys.
Hey Broden, what type of reptiles do you like the most? Wow, that's a big family. I hope you all get along.
I love snakes, and yes, we usually do get along.
That's good. I also have two dogs named Hudson and Buddy.
I have a dog too called Ollie. I also love to dance and do it for about 12 hours a week.
Wow, Shanae, that's a lot of hours. I do footy training 2 days a week and play on Sundays.
I love to dance too, Shanae, but I don't do as many hours. My favourite type of dance is contemporary. Really? I like contemporary too, but my favourite is actually jazz.
I don't like dancing at all, but I have done some in performing arts.
My favourite thing to do in performing arts is talk to my friends, because I'm not very keen on performing.
I like to talk to my friends also, but outside at recess and lunch. Me too. We mainly play on the playground though.
I play on the oval and kick the footy.
I play on the oval too.
So Shanae, what do you do in Wonderful Wednesdays?
I do filmmaking with Mr. Kelly. At the moment, we are starting to make a movie with different film techniques. My movie is called Gone.
Well, I do science. We do different types of experiments, like things that explode.
I do science too, and do the same things.
Well, I do filmmaking like Shanae. The film that I'm making is called The End.
Brayden, what do you do?
I do woodwork.
Is it fun?
Yes, very fun.
Okay. Right now, we're going to jump right into some fun.
Shanae, did you know that Lee's dad is a landscaper and has worked on some cool gardens?
As well as a great TV show called The Block.
We were lucky enough to interview him, so we invite our listeners to sit back and enjoy it.
Hi Travis, welcome to the Glorious Griffins Radio Show. Thank you for coming into the studio. Now over to you, Brayden, with the questions.
Can you please tell us what a landscaper does?
Well, a landscaper is like a gardener, but they also use things like rocks and timber to transform people's gardens and public spaces.
Cool. Do you need any special qualifications to become a landscaper?
You do. You do need to study for about 3 or 4 years and get a qualified trade, but you can also learn on the job as well.
Yep. Cool.
So how long have you worked as a landscaper?
Probably about 5 or 6 years.
How did you get picked to be a landscaper on the blog?
Good question. I think they found us on our website and they were looking for someone who could do vertical gardens, and that's how they found us. Just did a Google search and they gave us a call.
So what company do you work for?
Our company is called Vertiscape Vertical Gardens because that's what we specialise in.
What is it like having the opportunity to do your work on a show like The Block?
It's great. We've done it 3 times now. We've done 3 different series, and the first one's fantastic because it gives you a really interesting look at what happens behind the scenes of the show. So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Is it hard to do your job properly while the camera crew are filming around you?
It is. It's one of the first things that you notice, because you go in, you meet the contestants, and the first thing they do is they put a microphone on you and shove a camera in your face. So they record absolutely everything. So you're always mic'd up when you talk, And yeah, it's a bit intimidating, but you just have to get used to it because you've got a job to do.
Who have you got to work with from the show, and do you get along with them, all of them?
Yeah, look, they've all been pretty good. The first series was The Block Sky High with Maddie and Jared, and they were really nice. They were quite young, but very nice people. We also did some work for the whole group for the upstairs foyer. The second season was Lisa and Lissandra. That was a lot of fun. They're actually really nice people. We had a lot of fun on that series. And the third one was Max and Carsten, who you're probably seeing on TV now.
Do you get to design any of the gardens, or do they just tell you what they want done?
Yeah, we actually did. We did the whole garden design for Elisa and Lissandra. We designed the outside terrace and also the rooftop garden, but they don't tell you that on TV because everyone thinks that the girls did it.
Is the foreman Keith actually as angry as he seems on TV?
Yeah, look, I think Keith puts on a bit of a show. He sort of walks around all tough and gruff and stuff, but I think he's okay.
What has been your favourite season of The Block so far?
Favourite season would definitely have to be the fans versus favourites, where we got to spend a lot of time with Lisa and Lissandra and also met some of the other contestants, Brad and Dale. They're a lot of fun. So that was definitely our favourite season.
Hi, welcome back to the 97.7 FM KC Radio Bill Pierce Student Hour. We hope you have enjoyed this segment so far. It's only going to get better, so don't go anywhere.
Welcome back, listeners.
We are now going to share with you what we have been learning. Life definitely would have been pretty tough back then. Now we are going to read you another diary entry written by a girl named Bianca Blackwood, who was only 12 years old. She was an Australian Aborigine in 1791.
Dear Diary, it is me, Bianca Blackwood, and today has been a pretty boring day because my dad, uncles, grandpa and all of my cousins went to find some food. I couldn't go because my grandpa's age limit was 13 and up. At least I get to go next year.
I am stuck here in the bush with my grandma, but at least she is nice to me. She lets me go down the river, so that means I can go and catch some fish. My highest record of catching fish is 9, but today I got 11. Unfortunately, I cut my leg on a sharp rock. My grandma was proud of me for not making a big deal about it.
When I was down the river, I found a bucket and a rope, which the grubs left us in our territory. So I decided to pull a prank on the others that went to find food. I hung the rope across two trees and hung the bucket handle across the rope. The bucket was filled with water from the river. My plan was when they came, I would let the rope go and the bucket of water would fall on them.
When they fall on the floor, I'll grab all the food that they found and run, if that part works. I'll quickly hide the food in the bush, run into Grandma's tent and pretend I'm sleeping, and then I'll see what they say.
But shh, keep it a secret.
Being an Aborigine must have been hard work.
Yeah, having to hunt for all your food and cooking it with only a fire.
I reckon it would be pretty cool being outside all day and playing sport.
But they didn't play sport in those days.
Yeah, they did. They didn't.
Oh, yeah.
It has changed so much in these days.
Yeah, they almost didn't have anything back then.
Except for family. Family was very important to the Aboriginal people.
We hope you enjoyed listening to our Australian history stories and learnt something.
I'm Shanae, one of the glorious Griffins. You're listening to the 97.7 FM KC Radio. This is the Berwick Lodge Student Hour. Make sure to stay tuned for some great interviews.
Welcome back to the 97.7 FM KC Radio Berwick Lodge Student Hour.
Our next segment will be an interview with Miss Rapnett about her trip around Europe.
She was lucky enough to visit countries like Germany, Italy, France and Monaco.
She's been all over the continent and was gone for almost 2 months.
She must have had a great time.
Well, let's see. Sit back and enjoy learning about Miss Rapp's awesome holiday.
Hi Miss Rapp, thank you for coming.
Hi guys, how are you?
Good, thanks. Where was your first stop over in Europe?
My first stop was in... my stopover was in Dubai, so I flew from Melbourne to Dubai, and then I went from Dubai over to Madrid, which is in Spain. And then from there I had to catch a train, which was about 4 hours from Madrid, to get to San Sebastian.
I heard you went to Spain with the robotics team for the competition as well. How did they go at this competition, and how long were you there for?
We were in Spain for 10 days. We had a couple of days in San Sebastian, and then we met the team over in Pamplona, which is where you see the running of the bulls. The kids went really well. I think they got a bit of a shock because when we actually went to the tournament, we were only one of three teams that were actually primary school age. So when the kids actually went into the big stadium, there was like 17, 16-year-old children all from high school. So they were competing against kids from secondary colleges. So that was a little bit of a shock to them, but they performed really well. The kids did great. Unfortunately, our little robot didn't behave himself very well, and Jeffrey was, I think, a little bit shy under the spotlight because on the training tables, he was great. He performed really well and did all the programming really correctly and completed all his missions. But then as soon as we took him out to the main stadium when he was competing against other robots, he got a brick fell off our robot and he got stuck on that. A piece went off the table and a part of him went over the other side of the table. He went crooked on a line. So the three times we had him actually out in the spotlight in the main stadium, he actually didn't perform very well. So the kids were really disappointed.
Don't you have to make your own robots?
Yes, we had to make our own robots, and the hard part was we had to make our own robots here and then transport them all the way over on plane in little pieces of luggage and things like that, and we were careful how we held them, and you have to do lots of different things like check the light sensors and everything, because at the tournament in Spain the light is different to what we've been training with, so maybe that was something that we needed to work on a little bit more. So yeah, we had to build them all. We took over three robots and then two spares, so we had five robots all together with us. Dan,
you must have been devastated when he started messing up because he was fighting,
right? Yeah, we were screaming at him, and that didn't help. he just sort of ignored us. It was frustrating for the kids and disappointing, I think, because of the hours that they'd put in and that they worked so well maybe just half an hour beforehand on the training tables, and then when he got there, I don't know if he just got a little bit shy or what happened, but the first run was really just unfortunate because the Lego brick got stuck underneath him, so he just couldn't move anywhere, so that was a little bit unfortunate. But yeah, it was really disappointing for the kids. They're trying to get the kids' morale up after we had our first sort of defeat. Was really hard, but they worked hours and hours on it afterwards to try and get it to perform. Did on the tables, and like I said, took it back out onto the stadium, and it still didn't work.
Because you've visited so many places and they spoke a different language, how did you understand them all?
That's a really good question. We found that Spain. We were in the northern part of Spain. The southern part of Spain, most of them speak English because when you're in Barcelona, there's lots of tourists. But in the northern part of Spain, especially in Pamplona, most of them spoke Spanish. So hand gestures were good. Luckily, gelato is a universal word, so when we wanted ice cream, at least we knew what to say for gelato. The kids actually took some Spanish, did a bit of Spanish before they left, so they learned how to say hello and thank you and goodbye and how much, that sort of stuff. So that was really good. At the tournament, not a problem. So there was 91 different teams from different countries around the world, and most of them spoke English. If they didn't speak English, they had interpreters. But like I said, the hand gestures and stuff were probably what got us through, sort of just pointing here and there, directions and stuff like that. But it wasn't such a problem at the tournament. It was more when we went out for dinner and things like that, or in the city of Pamplona, that you found a little bit harder with the language barrier.
Does royalty still live in Rosenberg Palace, or is it just a landmark now?
That was a good question. The Rosenberg Palace has royalty in there. It's also a big tourist attraction as well. So I was lucky I went in the morning when there wasn't so many people there. But yeah, it has quite a number of people there, and it has royalty still living in there. You can tell if the royal family is actually in the palace by the mast of the flag. So when there is royalty in there, the Danish flag or the flag of the country, it's in there the flag goes up on the mast. If it's not up, then it means that there's no one in the palace at that time and it's empty. And that's generally when the tourists actually get to spend more time in the palace looking around at all the rooms and things like that.
You visited the second smallest country in the world. Did you get to visit the first Holy See?
This was an interesting one. So I had to research this because the second smallest city is Monaco. I'm assuming you guys you've done the research on that.
Yeah.
I went and visited Monaco. That's where they had the Grand Prix, and that's where all the luxury boats are. And it's very, very rich over there, very expensive. And a lot of people have lovely, beautiful cars, beautiful yachts and homes and things like that. Also has a very famous casino there. The smaller city, or the smallest city in the world, is the Vatican City, which is what you call the Holy See. I got to visit there as well. So I got to visit there on a very special day. Last time I went to the Vatican City, I got to tour the cathedral and the gardens. I got to see the Sistine Chapel. This time it was a little bit different. It was even more special because on the Wednesday, we were visiting the Vatican City, and the Pope comes out into the square in Vatican City. So we happened to be there on the Wednesday. We weren't allowed to go into the cathedral this time because he is there. We had a rough guess. We thought there was approximately about 30,000 people in St. Peter's Square to hear him deliver his message. He spoke in his lots of different languages, so it was multilingual. He delivered his message to people. He got to see some kids. Some kids went and gave him some gifts and things like that, and he spoke to kids in the crowd. So that was one of the highlights of my trip, actually being there when the Pope came out to speak to all the people in the square.
What places did you visit in Berlin, and can you please tell us some landmarks in Berlin?
Berlin is a very interesting city. I'm not sure how much you know about it, but a long time in the war, there was a wall erected between the east and the west of Berlin, basically to separate the people from the city. This wall was built overnight, so basically the people went to bed at night time. The next morning when they woke up, there was just a wall erected in the middle of around this town. I got the impression that the wall was like a straight line through the city, but it's actually not. It sort of curves around a little bit. And there's some checkpoints that you have to actually show your passport back then. You have to show your passport and things like that to actually go through the checkpoint wall. Now, if you had a family member on the other side of that wall, it's too bad. You couldn't go and visit them. Unfortunately, if you did cross the wall, there'd be some severe consequences and things like that during that time. So that was really interesting. There was I don't know if the kids know the Anchorman. Do you know the Anchorman?
Oh, yeah.
It's a little, you know, the crossing man? They call him the Anchorman. He's really famous over there. So there's a little walking man that's the red and the green man. He's not straight like we have in ours. And he's all around the city and stuff like that. So you can buy like little tourist attraction things there. There was a Lego center there. There was the Sony, a massive Sony museum there. It had all like technology and things like that I got to see. There was a big sky tower lookout that I got to run up and climb. I ran alongside the Berlin Wall. So the Berlin Wall has some, still got some remnants of it, and they use it now for artwork. So each piece of the wall has a beautiful piece of artwork on it. Some of the other parts of the wall are really sort of crushed and sort of broken down from when they actually took the whole wall down.
Did it only take one night to build the Berlin Wall?
Not one night. What they did is they erected a temporary fence that was just like barbed wire. And then I think they said over a period of maybe a month or so, then they brought in the big concrete slabs. And these things were really tall. So they're about 10 foot high. And then they had special barriers on the top so you couldn't jump over them. And what some people don't understand is the Berlin Wall is actually made up of two walls. So there's the wall that you see, then there was like a meter sort of gap, and then another wall behind it. And there was like booby traps and things set between there so that people couldn't jump them. But it was a very interesting, when the man took us on the tour and he showed me, it was quite an upsetting sort of moment, because I thought to myself, my sister and I only live about 5 kilometres away from each other, and I couldn't imagine having a wall built between her and I overnight and then me not being able to see them. So I sort of stood there and I was thinking, my family, thinking, how would I feel if all of a sudden there was a wall like built between our school and kids couldn't talk to each other on each side of the school? Be pretty sort of devastating. So it was an interesting interesting information and things that I learned from that particular tour in Berlin. Great city, awesome city, lots of good architecture and great food, and they have these special sausages and stuff with sauce and that, and it's just very yum. And donuts, they've got really nice donuts, jam donuts.
Are you looking to promote your business to the local market? Then consider sponsorship on KC Radio 97.7 FM. Our sales team can create a package tailor-made to suit your individual needs and targets with positive results and at a price that won't break the budget. To find out more on how sponsoring a program on KC Radio can work for you, call our sponsorship coordinator Katrina Mihai today on 0400 887 424. 97.7 FM KC Radio, the sound of the South East.
That was a really great interview.
Yeah, I wish I could have gone on a holiday like that.
It must have been so fun.
Miss Rapp had so much to tell us that we had to cut the interview short. Stay tuned to the 97.7 FM Berklage Student Hour in the coming weeks to catch the second half of our interview when we talk about her adventures at Legoland.
Stay tuned for another great segment.
Cyberbullying is a real problem in society today.
If you are getting bullied, do you know what to do?
Tell a parent or teacher or call Kids Helpline on 1-800-551-800.
They can give you advice without knowing who you are.
If you are stuck and feeling down, they will give you back your strength.
Make sure if you are getting cyberbullied, you make someone aware of it.
Our next segment is on a poem called Man from Ironbark, written by Bandra Patterson.
This poem is about a man from Ironbark who goes to a barber shop. The barber plays a joke on the man, and let's just say the joke doesn't go down very well with the man from Ironbark.
I think this poem is really funny, don't you think, Claire?
Yeah, I do. My favourite part is...
Let's not spoil it for the listeners before they hear it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, sit back and enjoy our poem reading.
The man from Ironbark.
It was the man from Ironbark who struck the Sydney town. He wandered over street and park, he wandered up and down. He loitered here, he loitered there, till he was about to drop. Until, at last in sheer despair, he sought the barber's shop. Here, shave my beard and whiskers off, I'll be a man of mark. I'll go and do the Sydney top, up home in Ironbark.
The barber man was small and flash, as barbers mostly are. He wore a strike your fancy sash, he smoked a huge cigar. He was a humorist of note and keen at repartee. He laid the odds and kept a toque, whatever that may be. And when he saw our friend arrive, he whispered, "Here's a laugh, just watch me catch him all alive, this man from Ironbark."
There were some gilded youths that sat along the barber's wall. Their eyes were dull, their heads were flat, they had no brains at all. To them the barber's passed a wink, his dexter eyelid shut. "I'll make this blue miracle think his blooming throat is cut." And as he stirred and rubbed it in, he made a rude remark, "I suppose the flats are pretty green up there in Ironbark."
"A grunt was all," he replied.
He shaved the bushman's chin, then made the water boiling hot,
and dipped the razor in.
He raised his hand, his brow grew black, he paused a while to gloat,
then slashed the red-hot razor back across his victim's throat. Upon the newly shaven skin, it made a livid mark. No doubt it fairly took him in, the man from Ironbark. He fetched a wild up-country yell, might wake the dead to hear. And though his throat, he knew full well, was cut from ear to ear, he struggled gamely to his feet and faced his murderous foe.
"You've done for me, dog. I'm beat. Walk here before I go. I only wish I had a knife, you blessed Mary Shark, but you'll remember all your life, the man from Ironbark." He lifted up his hairy paw with one tremendous clout. He landed on the barber's jaw and knocked the barber out. He set to work with tooth and nail, he made the place a wreck.
He grabbed the nearest gilded youth and tried to break his neck. And all the while his throat he held to save his vital spark.
"And murder, bloody murder!"
yelled the man from Ironbark.
A pure man who heard the din came in to see the show. He tried to run the bushman in, but he refused to go. And when at last the barber spoke and said, "'Twas all in fun, 'twas a Just a little harmless joke, a trifle overdone. A joke, he cried, by George, that's fine, a lively sort of lark. I'd like to catch that murdering swine some night in Ironbark.
And now while round the shearing floor the listening shearers gape, he tells the story over and over and brags of his escape. Then Barber chaps, what keeps a toad? By George, I've had enough. One tried to cut my blooming throat, but thank the Lord it's tough. And whether he's believed or no, there's one thing to remark.
That flowing beards are all the go way up in Ironbark.
Welcome back to 97.7 FM, KC Radio, Bear College Student Hour. Stay with us because we have got a lot of more interesting things coming up. Stay tuned.
Wow, that was a very interesting poem.
Yeah, it had lots of descriptive language, especially rhyme schemes.
It was cool how the rhyming words at the end of each line were all after each other.
Yeah, for example, and when he saw our friend arrive, he whispered, "Here's a lark," and "Just watch me catch him all alive, this man from Ironbark."
Yeah, lark and Ironbark rhyme.
As well as rhyming schemes, I also noticed a metaphor.
Yeah, wasn't it he lifted up his hairy paw?
Yeah, I noticed it too.
Why don't we explain what a metaphor is to our audience?
Okay. A metaphor is when you are comparing something to another thing without using the words like or as.
Okay. I also heard a few hyperboles in the poem.
Me too. They were, "And though his throat, he knew full well, was cut from ear to ear and might wake the dead to hear."
I am guessing that a hyperbole is a sentence that over-exaggerates.
Yeah, you can sort of tell how over the top these sentences are.
Another thing I noticed in the poem were a few wow words. They were loitered, despair, humorous, repartee, and tremendous.
Wow words always seem to help me with my writing to make it more descriptive.
Me too. I really enjoyed reading that poem. My favourite bit was when he got really angry because it was really funny.
My favourite bit was when he got cut with the razor.
Mine was when the barber says he's going to cut his throat.
Mine was the same as Janae's.
Well, we hope you have enjoyed this segment.
Hello listeners, welcome back to 97.7 FM KC Radio BLPS Student Hour. We hope you have had fun listening to our show, but don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to listen to more of our wonderful show.
Welcome back, listeners. In this segment, the girls and the guys were divided, so Brody, Brayden and I will be discussing the Brownlow Medal, a topic the girls had no interest in at all. So following our fabulous views, they will be sharing some less important celebrity gossip.
Hey, I bet most of the other girls out there will agree with me that the Rich and Famous World is way better than the AFL Awards.
Like you said, most.
Okay, whatever.
Also, they're both in the same Famous and Rich World. I mean, look at Gary Ablett.
Yeah, he is going at almost $2 million a year.
And look at Katy Perry.
Well, I guess you got us there. Well, anyway, Brody, who do you think will win the Brownlow Medal?
What's the Brownlow Medal, Daniel?
The Brownlow Medal is named after Charles Brownlow, a former Geelong star, and it is awarded to the best player in the AFL. But if a player gets suspended, he is then not able to receive the Brownlow Medal.
Cool. If I had to choose someone to win the Brownlow Medal this year, I would choose Nathan Fyfe.
Nathan Fyfe is a gun, but he got suspended. Otherwise, he would have been my choice as well. At the start of the season, Gary Ablett was destined to win the Brownlow Medal until his devastating injury, which caused him a dislocated shoulder.
Okay. I also think that Joel Selwood might win the Brownlow Medal as well. Or maybe even Scott Pendlebury.
As a Collingwood supporter...
Boo!
Hey, I go for Collingwood.
At least I'm not the only one. Anyway, I think Scott Pendlebury has a massive chance of winning the Brownlow Medal now that Gary Ablett is out. Hey, Brody, do you want to talk about the Coleman Medal?
Yeah, why don't we, Daniel? For all the listeners out there, the Coleman Medal is awarded to the person who kicks the most goals in the season.
Honestly, I think Jay Schultz win the Coleman Medal, judging by his amount of goals kicked in a short amount of games. He has kicked a whopping 52 goals already.
I think Lance Franklin, aka Buddy, will win the Coleman Medal. He has kicked 50 goals, but he has also kicked a lot of points.
Tom Hawkins also is a huge contender, standing at 48 goals.
If Luke Bruce kicks a few goals, he'll move up a few spots because he's on 45 goals.
Also, if Jack Real kicks a few goals, he'll move up a few spaces as well.
I'm sure the best and fairest man will win.
Yep, I'm sure they will.
Thanks, viewers, for listening to our segment. And next is the celeb gossip from girls.
Thanks for that awesome introduction there, Daniel. Hey, Leah, who is your favourite celebrity and why do you like them?
Well, my favourite celebrity is Taylor Swift because she does the sort of music that I like.
That's cool. Mine is Katy Perry because she is original.
Cool. Hey, Shanae, did you know that Taylor Swift has been in the music industry since she was 16?
Really, Leah? That is a long time. How old is she now?
She is 23. That means that she has been a pop icon for 7 years.
Wow, Leah, did you know that Katy Perry has dated 12 guys and married one? His name was Russell Brand, and they were together for 14 months. Her birthday is on the 25th of October, and this year she will be 30.
Really? She looks young. Taylor Swift has lots of songs. My favourite is 22. Taylor Swift writes all of her songs.
So she is a singer-songwriter?
Yes.
Well, a fun fact about Katy Perry is that Katy Perry isn't actually her real name. Her real name is Catherine Elizabeth Hudson. She changed it so that she could avoid confusion with Kate Hudson.
Wow, that is very interesting, Shanae. Taylor Swift has a grandmother who is a famous opera singer.
Really, Leah? That's so cool. Did you know that Katy Perry started her career at the age of 9? And also, she is touring this year in Melbourne. She is doing 8 shows here, the 14th, 15th, 18th and 19th of November, and the 4th, 6th, 7th and 10th of December.
That's really cool, Shanae. Taylor Swift had a concert a few years ago. My friend Michaela went to her concert last year and said it was amazing. So what is Katy Perry's tour called?
Good question, Leah. It is called the Prismatic World Tour.
Do you have any tickets?
No, but my friends Ella, Shani and Leah do.
Oh, maybe you can go next time.
Yeah, well, thanks for listening to our free choice segment.
We hope you have had a great time.
We have had a fun time.
That's it from us today.
Thanks for listening to our radio show. Hope you have enjoyed it.
Also, a reminder about the Barrow Clodge Film Festival.
The tickets will be coming out on the 18th of August,
so make sure you get them as soon as possible.
Good luck to all the district athletic competitors next Wednesday.
A big thanks to you panellists, Cav and Sasha.
We also want to say a big shout out to one of our group members, Ali, that couldn't be here today because she is currently travelling around Australia.
Tune in 2 weeks and listen to another radio show.
See you next time.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Bye. Welcome to our show. This is the Barrow Clodge Radio.